In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Prayer to Christ the King. O Jesus Christ, I acknowledge thee as universal King. All that has been made has been created for thee. Exercise all thy rights over me. I renew my baptismal vows, renouncing Satan, his pomps, and his works, and I promise to live as a good Christian. In particular, do I pledge myself to labor to the best of my ability for the triumph of the rights of God and of thy Church. Divine Heart of Jesus, to thee do I proffer my poor services, laboring that all hearts may acknowledge thy sacred kingship, and that thus the reign of thy peace be established throughout the whole universe. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are looking at My Catholic Faith, Lesson 90, The Obligation of Good Works. And we see a drawing of our Lord and a widow putting her mite into the collection. The caption reads, "Take heed not to practice your good before men in order to be seen by them. Otherwise, you shall have no reward with your Father in heaven." From St. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. The widow's mite had more value in the eyes of God than the gold that the rich poured ostentatiously into the temple's coffers. Everything done for the service of our neighbor may be considered almsgiving. Everything spent in good works is lent to God, who will return it with interest. Quote, "Come, blessed of my Father, amen, I say to you, as long as you did it for one of these, the least of my brethren, you did it for me. As long as you did not do it for one of these least ones, you did not do it for me." From St. Matthew chapter 25, verses 34, 40, and 45. We begin the lesson. Is everyone obliged to perform the works of mercy? Everyone is obliged to perform the works of mercy according to his own ability and the need of his neighbor. By the works of mercy, we put into practice the commandments of God completely, not merely avoiding sin, but doing good to others. Our obligation of good works varies with our condition in life and our vocation, as also with the degree of need of our neighbor. The obligation of a millionaire for the poor of his city is not the same as that of a wage earner. Neither is the duty of a bishop for good works the same as that of a layman. It is a most serious obligation to give alms to the needy according to one's means. If material or corporal alms or works of mercy are not within our means, we can always give spiritual alms, prayers, etc. Quote, "Every tree, therefore, that is not bringing forth good fruit is to be cut down and thrown into the fire." From St. Matthew chapter 3, verse 10. Another quote, "Faith without works is useless." Looks like probably Epistle of St. James chapter 2, verse 20. One who does no works of mercy fails to comply with the precept of love of neighbor. As St. Ambrose said to the stingy rich of his time, "The walls of your dwellings are hung with magnificent tapestry, while you strip the clothes off the poor man's back. A beggar is at your door pleading for a small alms. You do not even glance at him as you debate within yourself what kind of marble to use for the pavement of your palaces. The diamond you wear on your finger is sufficient to feed a multitude." He who performs the works of mercy in order to obtain the praise of others does not practice virtue, for his intention is not of God. Even poor people can do works of mercy, because what counts before God is not the amount we give, but the goodwill with which we give what we can afford. Quote, "If I distribute all my goods to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned, yet do not have charity, it profits me nothing." From St. Paul's Epistle, First Epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 13, verse 3. This charity St. Paul speaks of is nothing but the pure love of God and neighbor. It excludes all vanity. In doing the works of mercy, we should not be moved by the hope that we shall receive an earthly reward. Hence, we should do good preferably to those who cannot repay us. Quote, "When thou givest a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and blessed shalt thou be, because they have nothing to repay thee with. for thou shalt be repaid at the resurrection. St. Luke chapter 14, verse 13. Quote, when thou givest alms, do not let thy left hand know what thy right hand is doing, so that thy alms may be given in secret, and thy Father who sees in secret will reward thee. St. Matthew chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. This does not mean, however, that we should always keep our good works in secret, for our Lord himself advised, quote, so let your light shine before men in order that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. From St. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. If what we do will give good example, we should let it be known, but always with true modesty. We ought to give material alms only to those really poor or unable to get work. It would be wrong to support people in idleness or vice. This would be to encourage them in sin. But if we have no means of finding out about the poor who beg our aid, it is much better to err on the side of charity than miserliness. Quite a number of people give as an excuse for not giving alms the fact that many beggars are fakes who amass wealth by begging. It is, however, true that such fakes cannot be of a considerable number, and that the people who most often excuse themselves do not give to anybody at all. Is not God generous to us? Let us imitate his example. What are some practical ways of almsgiving? Some practical ways of almsgiving are to give help to our poor relatives, those in want, the church, and charitable institutions. In works of charity, we should give preference to our relatives, to our fellow Catholics, to our friends. Charity begins at home. It is not edifying to see well-known figures in public charities turn away a poor cousin who begs for some help to send his little child to school. This would very likely mean that the public charities done by such people are so done only for show, not from kindness of heart. As for fellow Catholics, St. Paul said, let us do good to all men, but especially to those who are of the household of the faith. From St. Paul's Epistle to the Galatians, chapter 6, verse 10. The church may be helped by giving alms to its missions, schools, orphan asylums, and homes for the poor. Even children should be trained early to give alms by setting aside every week a small sum from their pocket money. By this will all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. St. John chapter 13, verse 35. In these times, there are many organizations conducted by the government or by laymen to aid particular groups of the poor. In contributing to such organizations, we should exercise prudent care. It has become the fashion to give alms to institutions instead of directly to the poor. To let these institutions distribute our charity for us, in other words, it is fashionable to give charity by proxy. We should remember that personal charity is more kind than impersonal charity through institutions, that signing and mailing a check does not seem to be as Christian as visiting the poor in their dwellings, finding out what they really need, giving them comfort and aid directly. We should also, if we are too busy to do anything but institutional charity, find out which are worthy of help. Some such institutions are top-heavy, that is, too much goes for officials' salaries. Are all the ordinary deeds done every day to relieve the corporal or spiritual needs of others true works of mercy? All the ordinary deeds done every day to relieve the corporal or spiritual needs of others are true works of mercy, if done in the name of Christ. Quote, and before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate them one from another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, blessed of my Father, take possession of the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me to drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. naked and you covered me, sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the just will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see thee hungry and feed thee, or thirsty and give thee drink? And when did we see thee a stranger and take thee in, or naked and clothe thee? Or when did we see thee sick or in prison and come to thee? And answering, the king will say to them, Amen, I say to you, as long as you did it for one of these, the least of my brethren, you did it for me. It's from St. Matthew chapter 25, verses 32 through 40. If in all our works we remember and love God, we have the supernatural motive. Completes the reading of this lesson. Do we have any questions or comments? Okay. Well, there's not really much to be added to this, I don't think. But it is, I think, imperative for us to do these good works. But we're very busy today. We've got our lives to live, and the society we live in does not really open us up to the practicality of helping our neighbor as much as I think it should or possibly could, because we have the government reaching out, and not that I'm opposed to government charity, I'm just thinking it would be better if, rather than taxing people and creating welfare states, that we could have individuals each helping their neighbor out, so that they would not rely on what the old people used to call the dole, being on the dole and unable to find work, unable to provide for yourself. I think we've not only missed the great opportunity, but we have, I think, actually destroyed many lives through the, I don't know, governmental, I don't even know if I want to call it charity, but socialism, the free income, guaranteed free income, and that kind of status. I think it is rather destructive rather than productive, because there are people who actually will find it less profitable to get a job. I can make more money staying at home and collecting unemployment than I can getting a low-paying job. And we've created, I think, a whole class of people unable to work or unwilling to work. And it seems to me the greater form of charity would be to give them a means of employment where they can earn their own daily bread and perhaps help others, rather than to be on the receiving end. And I think being on the receiving end is, I don't know how shameful they feel about it today, but I know in the past it was considered a very shameful thing that you tried to hide that you were in need from others, because we have the idea that if you really want to work, you can find a job. But now we've, at least here in the United States, and we've promoted the idea that you can collect, you know, your unemployment, you can collect your disability. We have all these programs which I think disincentivize going out and finding a job, because you're not going to make enough at the job to support yourself and the status that you can by collecting the unemployment or the disability or whatever it may be. And so it is, I think, a little more difficult today than it has been in the past. But I think if we look around, there are still people who perhaps could use some help. And we should, I think, judiciously help our neighbor where we can. You know, if someone is truly in need, rather than have them, you know, apply for whatever governmental aid they can to come to their assistance as much as we can to help them out. And I think it means more when it comes from an individual rather than a government. And I think the recipient will be more appreciative and will be more inclined to use the support, the help, and for positive means, rather than if when it's supplied without a name or face to it, and it's just like money raining down from heaven. I just automatically placed in my bank every make account every month, and all I have to do is get out my debit card and spend it. There's a lack of the human element, I think, in that, and the honor and glory does not go to any individual or to God, but we become, I think, like I used to, in my sermons, tease the human gimme pigs, gimme, 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 basically looking at children who always want this, I need this, I need this, I need that, but I think we're creating a whole generation of people who feel entitled to live as what would have been considered princes and kings, I think, nobility, and they feel that they have a right or this is due to them, rather than feeling the obligation that they need to work to support themselves, their loved ones, and perhaps earn something to give in charity themselves to others. Okay, I think we will end then with the act of resignation to the divine will. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. O Lord my God, I now at this moment readily and willingly accept at thy hand whatever kind of death it may please thee to send me, with all its pains, penalties, and sorrows. Benedictio Dei Omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.
Thank you.